Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is Easter Tuesday. Remember, this whole week is Easter. 8 days of, there's a lot more celebration for the next 40 days, but the first week is Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. Get used to it and use it. This is a continual celebration. Jesus was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father and for the salvation of every one of us. He died on our behalf. You can never say, no one cares for me, because Jesus died for you. And he did. He died for you. God's capable of that, you know, to know each one of us through and through, and to die for you and for me. He loves us. He will give everything for us, and did. Let's rejoice. And let's in turn give everything we are to him. Let's put our life in his hands. Sometime this week, give your life to God. Put your life in his hands and say, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. Lead me. You'd be amazed what God will do for you when you say that with sincerity. Even though we make mistakes, we'll have to repent for it. That's all right. All God looks at is our heart. Are we willing to try again and again? And each time we draw a little closer to him. Each time it's a little easier to say yes to him and no to the world and the flesh and the devil. It really is. But because you have free will, he waits for you. He waits for you. He doesn't want to, in the slightest sense, coerce you to anything. It's up to you. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the Jewish people, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So they heard the truth, and they were cut to the heart. In other words, they were deeply convicted. They went, ah, if this is true, then. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do? If this is true, then what are we to do? And Peter said to them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Be baptized. If you've been baptized, renew the promises of your baptism. We did that Holy Thursday at the Holy Thursday liturgy. Do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his pomps, all his empty promises? Do you reject him? You said yes to that. Make it real in your life. Don't just go through the motions. Lord, I choose you. I renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. I want to follow you, for you will lead me to the fullness of life. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many arguments. Look at this. Peter, look at him. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That cry goes out to us today, brothers and sisters. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And we'll keep praying for the corrupt generation that they turn to him. But the more you turn to him, the more his light and his truth are available to the world. Don't hold back. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. Think of that. 3,000 wanted to be baptized. 3,000 heard the truth and said, yes, my goodness, brothers and sisters. What is it? Scripture tells us that the fields are white for the harvest. But we need those who will gather in the harvest, and that's you and me. Reach out. Psalm 33, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Upright is the word of the Lord. All his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul, does yours? Our soul, my soul, your soul, our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Think about that. Isn't that true for us? If we put our hope in him, we're going to know even more his kindness. He reaches out to us. Receive him. I mean that. When I say, I'm not just saying the word, receive him, say, Lord, I know you are here. I know you are calling me closer to yourself. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I want it. Will you help me to draw closer to you? Then pray that way every day. It's simple. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to make a long speech. What matters is your heart and your mind. Are you willing to put them under his authority or not? Yes, it'll involve sometimes people mocking you, sometimes people wanting to kill you. It's possible. But the peace and the joy and the love that you know when you walk in union with him is incomparable. No one can give you what God does. No one. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Seemed a little odd, but she looks into the tomb. She's looking to care for his body. He's not there, and there are two angels. And you can imagine, can't you? They were like us. You can imagine being absolutely stunned and not quite knowing what to do. And she said to them, when they asked her, woman, why are you weeping? They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not recognize him. She didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? And she thought it was the gardener. And she said to him, sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him. You know, sometimes in shock, it's hard for us to accept. And we can't justify it with the reality in which we're living. No, you often have, especially our brothers coming home from some part of the war in the Middle East, and the family doesn't expect him home at that time. Perhaps they even heard he had been injured, and there's just a lot of concern for him. And suddenly, and I've seen those pictures, suddenly he shows up at the door, and there's just utter confusion for a few moments because they can't believe what their eyes are seeing. That's a human thing. We can't adjust that fast when we've gotten to the place where we thought this person died or was seriously injured and suddenly they're showing up right there in front of us. We can't take it in. That's very much what happened to Mary Magdalene here. There's more to it, but certainly one of the things was she saw him die and she cared for his body. And she's come back to mourn his death, and he's not there. And so what does she say Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop holding on to me. She must have thrown herself at him. Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and then reported what he had told her. Brothers and sisters, what a moment in life. What a moment. There's a meditation in Magnificat magazine that in part says this. Mary does not recognize Jesus by his famous face or even by his voice. She recognizes him by her vocation. What matters is not an external coming image, but an interior personal echo. He calls her by her own name and entrusts to her the task of transmitting to the others her testimony of this incommunicable face-to-face encounter. It's incommunicable. She doesn't know what to say. He's dead, and now he's alive. He's here. All those thoughts are jumbling in her mind, and she can't put it all together, understandably. And this is why, this author writes, this is why the others, to begin with, cannot bring themselves to believe her. The good news escapes the parameters of news. It is not information for everyone, but a call to each. And that's true for you and me. This is not information we're being given. This is a call to each one of us. Will you believe me? I died for your sins. I have risen from the dead. I have died that you might live forever. I have suffered an unspeakable death that you might know the fullness of life. Will you believe in me? Will you give yourselves to me? That's what is before us in this Easter week. We're not, as I've said for so many years, we're not celebrating a past event. We're celebrating a present reality. He is risen. He is here, risen in power and majesty and glory, and he humbles himself to call us again and again to come to him, to acknowledge him, to thank him for his death on our behalf. He's calling us not just to serve him. He's calling us, first of all, to be his brother or his sister. He's calling us into intimacy with him, into a personal relationship with him. And as you draw near and you ask the Holy Spirit, help me, that I might at least in some part be able to understand who you are and what you're calling me to, he will do it for you. Happy Easter. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.